I am Plant on the Line in Vancouver, British Columbia at thecommentary.ca. Tonight at Gallery 881 in Vancouver and running until the 6th of June is the new exhibit from the acclaimed photographer and artist Michelle Leon Huseman, Vapes and Butts. The new body of work takes the discarded remnants of contemporary life and turns them into images of haunted beauty and permanence. There are 22 richly layered photographs in this exhibit, and they depict the battered vape pods and cigarette butts we see all too often on our streets. Michelle, who joins me now, sees these on her walks and safely and carefully picks them up, and through her lens offers a reflection on symbols of addiction, consumption, pollution, and ritual. These are expensive habits, and they're reduced to trash. I'll ask Michelle about what she sees when she finds these things and the art that emerges. She'll talk about the work of Irving Penn and how his work speaks to her. I'll ask Michelle about the platinum-palladium printing process she uses. There will be an artist talk at Gallery 881 Saturday, the 23rd of May, 2 p.m., 881 East Hastings Street. Visit michellehuseman.com for more. Please welcome back to the Plant Online program, Michelle Leon Huseman. Ms. Huseman, good morning.
Hello.
Thanks for joining.
How are you?
Pretty good, yourself?
Good, good, good.
This exhibit is called Vapes and Butts, and you know, we all know we shouldn't litter, but
yeah,
many still do. The smokers and vapers, obviously, especially. When you'd see these things as you'd go about your day, because, I mean, we see them, I see them, we all do. When did you start seeing something beyond trash?
So, interestingly, so I live across the street from a high school, and I have a few projects of discarded items, and the one that was started me picking up things was discarded face masks, and I have a whole project on that called Global Pandemic, and it pairs the environment as well as the global pandemic that was going on at the time. And then after that, I started, because the discarded masks were everywhere, and then all of a sudden they were not there. But all of a sudden I started seeing vapes, and I saw the color really stood out to me. And because I live across the street from a high school, there were many of them. And from the reason I bring up the global pandemic project is I met a man named David Papineau who also collected discarded face masks. And one day on his Instagram, he posted that he had started collecting vapes as well. And I thought, oh, that's my next project. And especially because of Irving Penn's cigarette project, it kind of felt like the next step in his world. So it was an ode to Penn in a way.
I'll ask you about Penn in just a moment, but
okay.
So it's a creative practice that you have in terms of seeing art in this garbage, if you will. But then you'd also pick them up. So it's practical for not just you, but your community. What steps do you take to be safe? Because some of these things, you know, unlike masks, do smell, don't they?
They do, yes. So I do have a dog, so I walk with my dog, and obviously I have dog bags.
Mm-hmm.
So it was kind of an easy thing to pick up when I saw them. I just took the dog bag and then collected it this way. And then when I photographed them, the smell was interesting. It was kind of a sweet, let's say, strawberry-type smell that was there, and I did have a mask on when I was photographing them. And and so besides gloves and my dog bags and my mask, that's basically what I've used to collect them and photograph them.
Well, one of the things that this exhibit will do will highlight, showcase the harm to one's health, you know, even vapes, because, I mean, you'll still hear some people claim that it's safer, healthier to smoking, but, I mean, we all know that's baloney. But you said something a moment ago that struck me. I mean, you know, they have certain colors and certain smells, I guess, that are used to attract younger people.
Yeah.
That's something that I guess cigarette manufacturers would hope for their product, wouldn't they?
Yeah, it actually states, so the World Health Organization has a campaign coming up, and, you know, I didn't actually plan this, but it is good timing, because the World Health Organization's campaign is World No Tobacco Day on May 31st, and on their website they state that tobacco and nicotine industries actually design these products to get young people stuck in a cycle of addiction, and that there are 15 million adolescents between the ages of 13 and 15 worldwide that already use e-cigarettes, and 40 million adolescents worldwide use tobacco. So it's been interesting this week listening to the news, because there's been a few things that have happened. So this week in Hong Kong, they just passed a law that there's no vaping allowed in public anymore, and there's fines of up to $500 that will be given out, and possibly jail sentences if you're found vaping in a public area.
Yeah.
And I also listened to a program on CBC, and they had the president of the BC Lung Foundation, who is trying to also hopefully within BC have what they're calling the smokeless generation, because the UK just passed a legislation making it illegal to sell tobacco or vaping products to anyone born on or after January 2009. Mm. So it's interesting. It is geared towards younger adolescents in order to get them addicted to tobacco and nicotine, sorry. And so I guess, you know, you smell, like you said, you smell the sweet smell, and you see the bright, colorful vapes, and they are attractive. They're especially if you look at vape stores and the outside of them, they often have chips and pop and other candy-like products on their storefronts, and so it is trying to engage, I believe, with the adolescents of the world.
Well, one of the things that having talked to you about your previous work and now this is that you have such a keen eye for seeing art in what others have thrown away. Where do you think that comes from?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I like to see, it's interesting, I have other little projects on the go, just with rude nature or pathetic mimicry, where, you know, things to me when I'm walking and you know, I think I look more closely now because I have a dog. So I am often, you know, looking at the ground, or I've walked in many different places that I would not probably go if I didn't have a dog.
Yeah.
And so, which has been amazing. I've always liked small things, for one thing. And then I think just noticing, you know, there's one park that I go to, and they often have water balloons, and I keep thinking, oh, that's a flower petal, what a beautiful flower petal, and I'll pick it up and it's a piece of balloon. I like to think a lot about what we leave behind, and also that you know, how the world is now, where there's garbage everywhere, and it's like, can I find beauty in it? I don't know. Is there a beauty in these photographs? A lot of people have said yes, they are beautiful photographs. So what am I trying to add to this you know, something that is disgusting and unhealthy as an object. So what is the project about? And it's kind of about, you know, showing two sides of addiction and the unhealthy tension that we have with addiction. And, you know that it's not good for you, but it could make you feel good. Like having a cigarette at the end of the day might take the edge off of a hard day or something like that, right? So I am taking a risk as an artist to show these in a beautiful way, but I also think that it tells the bigger story, and Penn did the same thing where he crossed, Irving Penn did the same thing where he photographed a lot of commercial works and worked for Vogue. And he photographed a lot of, you know, cigarette ads, and he absolutely hated cigarette smoke. And when his mentor, Alexei Brodovich, died, he was Alexei Brodovich, in case people don't know, he was the art director of Harper's Bazaar, and he was one of Penn's mentors, and he was a pioneer of modern graphic design. And Penn, you know, really looked up to him from everything that I can read. And when he died, and Alexei Brodovich was never seen without a cigarette in his mouth. He was completely addicted. And he died in 1971. And then Penn created his cigarette series in 1972 after he passed away. And he took the cigarette butt off the streets of New York, and he used a macro lens, and they are black and white. They're platinum palladium prints, mm-hmm. which is what I do with palladium, and so similar printing technique, or the same printing technique, only I've added color into it. Mm-hmm. And he took that body of work, and he made it into fine art. And at the time, that wasn't really done. So, yeah, I've always been fascinated with Penn's cigarette series. I really do think that it is one of his most influential still life series. And he often took a minimalist approach with his photography and photographing objects, or even people, where he put them in a corner and photographed them and pushed them into either an uncomfortable position or got these photographs of people that just told their personality.
So it was not just the aesthetic of his work, but the process that fascinated you as well.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So there are people that do platinum palladium printing. It's very difficult. And Penn was one of the masters at it. And he was not just a photographer, but he was also a printer. And I have taken 6 years, and I learned from Bob Carney in Toronto this particular type of 19th century process. Mm-hmm. And so palladium is the black and white that you see on the images, which is what Penn did. But I use color, so my process is called gum bichromate over palladium. And so it's quite an involved process. It takes about 5 days to actually print one photograph. Mm. And so each layer, so it's a CMYK layer, so a cyan, yellow, magenta, and K being the black, the key.
Yeah.
And so your key layer would be your palladium layer. And so I have 4 separate negatives. And so I print the palladium first and develop it, and then you have to let it dry. And then I paint with my gum pigment, the yellow, and then you put it into a UV machine so that the actual colors burned into the paper. So it's very different than a digital print where the ink is sitting on top of the paper. This is actually burned into the platinum rag paper that I use.
Yeah.
And that gives it a permanence. So when you use palladium as your base and your gum, these prints are known, these colored prints are known to last up to 500 plus years. So there's a preservation about them, which is also, was really important to me.
What does it all smell like when you're working?
Smell like?
Yeah.
Have you ever been in a dark room before?
No, actually, no, now that I think about it, I never have. There was a dark room in our high school, and I never went into it.
Interesting.
I always wondered this.
Yeah, developer? I don't even know. I can't describe it. I don't mind the smell at all. I've been working, you know, on and off with developer since the 90s.
Uh-huh.
And then when I do the gum bicarbonate, it's just rinsed off with water. So it doesn't really smell like anything.
Yeah. Yeah, see, I always thought it was all chemicals and things like that, but I guess not.
Well, there is chemicals,
yeah.
But yes, it's not overpowering. And you can, I wear a mask and gloves with it as well, so
yeah.
Just to be safe.
So it's fascinating to think about all this because, you know, you spoke a moment ago about the relief that one gets when they smoke a cigarette or use a vape. You know, it's a temporary relief,
mm-hmm.
obviously.
Yes.
And here you are with your work granting a lot of this trash that we may not wish to see some permanence in the piece of art itself. And then, you know, I was thinking about that and, you know, some people might say, why are you doing that? But then, you know, if we don't look at this stuff, our habits might not change. And I guess that's the key, isn't it? That whether one smokes or not, we shouldn't just throw this stuff on the ground.
Yeah, it brings up a lot of conversation, which is what I was trying to do with the work, right? It's like taking a risk on showing this work because, you know, maybe not everyone is going to like it, but it does definitely bring up questions of the environment, how we treat the world, what we do with our garbage. But for me, it also brings up memories. And not all those memories are bad, which is also interesting to talk about. Like I have memories of my great-grandpa, and he used to roll his own cigarettes, his own players. And one of my favorite memories from my grandparents was they loved to play cards and smoke. And, you know, as a little kid, I was a 7-year-old kid. I'm sitting there and I was waiting, you know, I was watching them play euchre and would wait until all the adults were done playing. And then they would sit down with me and teach me how to play the game. And so, you know, I have fond memories of my great-grandpa doing that. And my grandfather was also a smoker. He smoked a pipe. And, you know, just the smell of the pipe will bring me back to, oh, my grandpa, my granddad. And you know, and then I think about my mom, and my mom was a smoker when I grew up, and she's quit now for 19 years. But, you know, like I think back about looking at her and on her smoke breaks and just she just looked relaxed and peaceful, right? And I talked with another person and he's like, that slow burn of the cigarette, that's all I need in that moment and that's all I can think about. That person has quit and he still says he thinks that, you know, about that slow burn, and I am not a cigarette smoker.
Mm-hmm.
I've never smoked cigarettes. I don't like them personally.
Yeah, same.
That's just me. And yet, I think if you have that addictive personality, it's, you know, And, you know, I can say that I was often jealous of my friends that smoked because they always got a break at work.
Yeah,
yeah. When I was a kid and, or, and, you know, yeah. And I'm like, how do they get a break and I don't get a break? Oh, this isn't fair. And having said that, in high school, we had a smoking pit, and I would just go with my friends and hang out in the pit, even if I wasn't smoking. And then, you know, being in university at Metropolitan University, Toronto Metropolitan University, back in the 90s, and being a photo student, I think 90% of the people smoked, and we, you know, I would hang out with them. I never smoked, but I would hang out with them. And so I can't say that I do have bad memories as well of cigarette smoke, but not all of them are bad. And so it does bring up memories that, for me, this project with the cigarettes brings up memories, but it also asks questions about, well, where is the smoking culture going? And, you know, it changed with vaping and then just the amount of waste that's actually put into the world because of cigarette butts alone are 4.5 trillion butts are discarded every year in the world.
Wow.
And 400,000 cigarette butts every day in Vancouver alone. And they're not biodegradable. They're made of a cellulose acetate plastic. But there's no place for smokers to put their cigarette butts anymore either. There's no ashtrays around. There's no, you know what I mean? Like, that part of the culture has changed. And so what do smokers do? Well, you can get a reusable pocket ashtray from the city of Vancouver. They give them out. You can get them on their website. But then with the vapes, it does go into the whole, there's more waste, you know, with the lithium ion battery and the toxic metals and plastic. And the waste is rapidly growing in Canada and within the world. So, yeah.
So when folks go to Gallery 881 between the 6th of May and the 6th of June, they'll see 24 images, is that right?
22 images. I do have 24 images. I also have a book that goes along with it. And there's 24 images in the book, but I'm hanging 22 images.
Yeah, so when you're looking at the stuff and as you're putting the exhibit together, you're looking at them regularly. Are you still able to remember where certain things came from or even what they smelled like?
I would say no. There for a while, I was finding at least one, if not two or three a day.
Mm-hmm.
Now I see them a lot less, which I find interesting.
Yeah.
And then I do have my haunts where I walk my dog. My kids play soccer, so I'm often out in Richmond and I'll walk along the water there. And so there are places there where I would find certain, especially colored cigarettes, which I found interesting. And, you know, you can actually see people's habits. It's like, oh, this person stands here and smokes this particular brand of cigarette, and then the next week it would be back. Like there would be more.
There's where I work. There are a couple of I think there's more than two, but they go downstairs from where we work in the office to the stairwell downstairs and the doorway, the front door to the building, and there's always an argument about where the butt should go, and so they've been throwing for a while that they were just throwing the butts onto the ground. Finally, the management decided to get like a can, an old metal coffee can, and put it there. And then sometimes it would go missing or get knocked down the stairs. And then for a while there was an old Tim Hortons, a large Tim Hortons coffee cup, But then, you know, it get, you know, if it's raining, then it gets wet.
Yeah.
And yeah. It's funny how I walk by it every day, and I just, you know, look in for, well, I don't know, for whatever reason. And mm-hmm. you see how many cigarettes there are a day.
Yeah.
And you can gauge, you know, how many have been smoked that day as opposed to yesterday. And yeah. Sometimes the can's gone altogether, and so, you know, you wonder where that went. So it's a fascinating thing, you know, it's just you know, 10 seconds of one's day, but, you know, it's twice a day I go through that doorway.
Yes.
And yeah. It's something we all notice. I understand that proceeds from the exhibit will go to the Canadian Cancer Society.
Yep. Partial proceeds of any sales will go to the Canada Cancer Society, yes.
And so people can also buy, when they go see the exhibit at Gallery 881, they can mm-hmm. Buy the book there too, right?
The book at the moment is not for sale.
I see.
And it is an artist-proof book, so they can see all my mistakes in the book. And I did that purposely so that people could just flip through the book and see what it takes to actually make a book.
Yeah.
But the images are for sale, yes. And I'm showing the artist proof for the show as well. And these particular prints, I only print one of one.
Mm-hmm.
So I do two artist proofs and a unique limited edition of one of one. They're so time consuming
yeah.
to print, and each one is different because they're handmade and they're hand painted photographs. So yeah, so each one is different, and I mean generally the same colors, yeah. but you're never going to get the same brush stroke.
It's so fascinating. And I saw some images on the computer, and I can tell that mm-hmm. they're probably far more complex and interesting to see in person. So that'll give us
definitely.
A lot to look forward to. Michelle, I so appreciate your time. It's been such a pleasure talking to you again.
Yeah, you too. One thing I will say
yeah.
is on May 23rd, I'm doing an artist talk at the gallery from 2 till 3 p.m. And I will bring my negatives there so that people can see the process. It's just a little easier to show in person. So if there's any interest in talking about the project a bit more, and then also seeing the actual process that I can do without my equipment there, people are welcome to come down. It's a free event.
So that's Saturday, May 23rd, between 2 to 3 p.m.
Yeah.
At 881 East Hastings.
Gallery. Yep.
Yeah.
Gallery.
Before I let you go, I just want one last question. Sure. I'm sure people, mm-hmm. there are young people that come and see your work.
Mm-hmm.
And they're probably fascinated with the way you work. What's it like to talk to them you know, if they come up to you and say they're interested in doing what you do?
I haven't started teaching yet, but never say never.
Yeah.
And I do, you definitely need a lab to do what I do. And I learned in Toronto. And there are, yeah, there's opportunities if people were interested. I'm more than happy to talk to them. I've talked to a few people lately who are interested in learning the process. So never say never.
Thanks for this, Michelle.
Yeah, thank you.
The website for more is at michellehuseman.com. Vapes and Butts is at Gallery 881. Starting tonight, the 6th of May through to the 6th of June, 2026, Gallery 881 is at 881 East Hastings Street. Michelle Huseman, join me on the line from here in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Plunton.